Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, and a very warm welcome to you all. It's great to gather together exactly at 10:30. If you're new to the countdown, we're just wanting to be able to start on time so we don't finish after lunch. But this morning is a communion service, so it'll be a little bit longer than usual. But I hope that every part of it will be a real blessing to you all. And as a result of God blessing us, we will be able to bless others. Because the theme of the service is being on mission together. That is what our theme is. Just one notice before we begin our worship. Tonight, before the six, from 5 o'clock, there's some beautiful strawberries to be eaten. So if you're coming to the six, please do come early to enjoy those. Let's stand together. This is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship the Lord. All praise to his holy name. We're going to worship the Lord using a name of God, the Ancient of Days, that comes from the book of Daniel, sees this great vision of God and knows that he's the one who is from before all things and will be after all things. So let's enjoy the singing and dancing and using the musical instruments and the flags. If your children would like to come forward and collect those now, it's quite an oomphy one. I asked Debbie before we began, could we make it a bit oomphy? And she said, we can do oomph. So let's do a bit of oomph and use our bodies to express our worship to God together.
No pressure then. I'll just wait for the children to come and get their instruments. Come on, guys, we need more instruments. We really, really do. We need every instrument
this morning. A really fun song
because
to enjoy together.
Because we need to make more sound. Barry will do his best, but he needs some support.
That's it.
Lovely. Thank you. Right, okay. 2, 3, 4.
Glory and power, the end to the ancient of days. Call every nation for our creation, God for the ancient of days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall lay your glory.
all things and over all things, and that, Lord, history is in your hand and the future is in your hands. And we bless you that you're with us now this morning by your Spirit. Inspire our worship, open our lips, and enable us to know your love ever deeper, we pray, that we might bless others in the way we have been blessed this morning. For your glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. Now, I've brought with me, and I'm really grateful to those who have supplied, lots of wonderful umbrellas this morning. And you'll discover why in a few moments. But these umbrellas are a really wonderful thing. It's unlucky, some people say, to put an umbrella up in church. But as Christians, we don't really believe in luck, do we? We're not superstitious. So we've got lots of umbrellas already raised. It's not raining inside here. But it's sometimes fun to put umbrellas down when it's raining. Have you ever done that? Just to enjoy the rain, especially when it's pouring and pouring and your hair gets soaking wet. And you can, some of you, I think, have done that, haven't you? And enjoyed it. And the rain is so important. It makes these wonderful hills over Malvern as green as they can be. It makes the earth soft so the seeds can grow. And it makes it possible for us to enjoy the water that we take for granted so often every day. It is such fun when the rain is pouring and we just say, I'm not going to have an umbrella up. I'm going to sing and I'm going to dance in the rain. But just for you to children to... That's right. I forgot to say. What we need to do is a bit of umbrella twirling. How many umbrellas have we got? We need you to stand at the front here and take an umbrella and face the congregation. That's it. Oh, this is a popular... We should have got a lot more umbrellas. Here we are. Can you do it together? You can share them. Perhaps they can come to the front on the step here. That'd be better? Come to the front. That's it. Stand facing the front. And you can find... You stand there, that's it. I'm a bit fearful. And whatever way you like, you can spin them round. You can just move a little bit further apart so you don't get people in the eye. But if you can put them in front of you and spin them round... Right, lovely, okay. Everybody can sing if they know the words. It's only 70 years old, this film, it's fine. You'd all know them. Let's go, Derek, thank you. Thank you. Well done, everyone. That's marvelous. Thank you very much, children. It's brilliant. Let's put the umbrellas down and go back to your seats. That's great. We'll stick them down here. Very good indeed. Well, you might be wondering why we're thinking about singing and dancing in the rain. Well, let me explain. A little while ago, when I was a vicar in Wales, about 25, 30 years ago, I invited somebody I got to know called Barry Kissel from St. Andrew's Chorley Wood, just outside London, to come up and do a mission with us. We only had about 500 people in our parishes, about six parishes. But he said, yes, I was in my great surprise, because he was the one along with David Pitchers who started the whole New Wine conferences and things in 1979. So he came up and I asked him, Barry, give me some advice. What would you suggest we do here in this patch with so many sheep and so few people to help the gospel be known and to see lives transformed? And he said, Joe, you want to look out for the showers and get in under the shower. And you know, that advice has always stayed with me. Because what he meant by that was that look out, watch out, and pray for insight into what God is doing in your area, in people, in the community, in your church. And whatever you see God doing something, just get in there and build on that and enable them to take their umbrellas down and enjoy the shower. That wonderful smiling face of Gene Kelly, he just looked up to the heavens. I thought that was a wonderful picture of God's people enjoying God's blessing and singing and dancing in the rain. And that's what we want to be doing as God's people. Seeing, noticing what God is doing and joining in with that. So I want to be able to thank God for what he is doing now. And ask that the children might be blessed as they go into their groups and have some party time and enjoy celebrating what's happened this year. So would you like to stand? And I'm going to pray for you all. Let's stand together. Father, we praise you that we can celebrate the life that you give. We thank you that all ages are called to be part of your mission. And we thank you that as we realize that Jesus loves us and that he loves the people that we meet and all the people in the world without exception and the planet that you have given to us, Lord, we pray that we might celebrate that life and go into this world in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. May the children, young people, be blessed this morning, their leaders and helpers, and that they might experience something fresh of that life-giving love in the name of the Lord. Amen. Fantastic. Please do go to your groups. Have a wonderful morning. And others of you who'd like to turn to one another, maybe just say, peace of the Lord be with you, and share a sense of God's presence with us. So let's be open to God and ready to receive that which he has for us today. We gather here in your presence, God, in our need and bringing with us the needs of the world. We come to you for you come to us in Jesus. And you know by experience what human life is like. We come with our faith and with our doubts. We come with our hopes and our fears. We come as we are because you invite us to come, and you have promised never to turn us away. You promise never to turn us away, Lord. We're always welcome. You always welcome us in love, forgiveness, understanding. With your eyes alight and alive, joyfully welcoming us home. We thank you, Lord, we worship you, and we want to be people who will continually just wait for you, to be open to whatever you're doing in us and through us and sometimes in spite of us. So I'd invite you now just to stand and to maybe with hearts and hands open in expectant prayer of adoration, let's stand together and sing our heart's desire.
Waiting here for you.
Wait upon the Lord. listen to whatever he is wanting to share of himself with us, the living word. Lord, on this day of resurrection, we worship you, we adore you with people all over the world, with the whole of creation. And we pray that you would open our hearts to your word now as you open your word to our hearts. Amen. Please do be seated as we come to our final reading from the letter of Paul and Timothy to the Colossians, which Anna is going to bring. We've been on quite a journey, haven't we, over these last weeks, following the way in which Paul expresses his deep love and concern and passion that the church that he and Timothy nurtured in Colossae would know Christ, would know Christ in them. And that as they began to grow in that knowledge and understanding and the experience of life with the Holy Spirit, so they might be people who would express that life, live it out in their everyday relationships. That's why we've called this series Christ-centered relationships. It's about living out the life of Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul puts it. And the overflow of that life is that which blesses others and takes God's mission forward. And now today we're thinking about how the mission of God is to be taken forward, both by Paul and Timothy, but also by the Colossian Christians there too. And we will see, and this is the central theme of this part of the letter, this concluding part, that it begins and ends in prayer. So Anne, would you come and lead that great passage from Colossians 4.
The reading is from Colossians 4, verses 2 to the end. I'm sorry, I haven't got down what page it's on. Right, good. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews amongst my co-workers for the kingdom of God. and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, Paul and Timothy had a very special relationship with the Christians in Colossae. A very special relationship. It was Christ-centered. It was a relationship that was united in Christ. It brought them together in Christ. And they were experiencing together the fullness of life that was to be found in Christ. And the thing that animates that relationship is prayer. You can see it as Paul and Timothy begin their letter. Right back in chapter 1, they begin with an assurance of how much they're praying for those people. Let me take you back to that first chapter, starting at verse 3. Paul and Timothy write, "We always thank God for you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." Straight away there's this symbiotic relationship. "Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard the true message of the gospel that's come to you." So they're beginning by saying how much they are so thankful and praying for them in that way. And that prayer isn't just a one-off prayer. It is an ongoing prayer. Verse 9 says, "For this reason," all the reasons he's just outlined, "since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." I'm sure it's not literally, but in one sense, there is a continuity about prayer, which is so, so wonderful. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." That's what he's really wanting, that they may know God's will. They may know where the showers are and get underneath that shower. They may see what God is doing, that they may have the wisdom and understanding from the Spirit that they might get that. "In order that, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord," which was the second part of the letter, "and please him in every way." The practical teaching that fills that second half of the letter spells what that means in action. And the result of that, the result of living Christ out in the everyday life, is that fruit would be born, that they might bear fruit that would last, as Jesus put it in John 15. In every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So he comes back to that central theme of knowing God and growing from that knowing. It's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge that he's talking about. So that's the first part of the bookend, as it were. At the end of the letter, the other bookend that's between this great letter, as he draws the letter to a conclusion, he comes back to prayer. In verse 2 of chapter 4, he says, "Therefore, to the Christians there, Now we've prayed for you. You now are to devote yourselves to prayer. And do it in such a way that is watchful and thankful. We'll come back to that in a minute. In other words, being alert to life, the way that you're living, watching out for one another. And let thankfulness, he says, characterize your whole being. This attitude of gratitude, which is so... I'm going to say, don't you warm to people who have that sort of attitude, rather than people all mumbling around and being like I am sometimes, just moaning about stuff. Sean will tell you after the service if you'd like any testimony of that. But having an attitude of gratitude is so wonderful. And it's a God-like, a Christ-like attitude that permeates all that you are and spreads out like a wonderful virus to those around you. So as well as praying for one another in the local fellowship, he asks them also, as they devote themselves to prayer, to pray for them, because they are in mission together. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. In other words, that there may be opportunities opened up for us, and that as we see God opening doors or sending the showers, we might see that and try the handle of that door and see if it opens for us and walk through into the unknown, but with faith and hope and love. So here are Paul and Timothy coming back to the reason why they are living as they are and why they are paying a great cost for what they are doing. Paul, as we've seen, is in prison, in chains, for proclaiming nothing more, nothing less, and for proclaiming what he describes as the mystery of Christ. That's the phrase that he uses, the mystery of Christ. It's shorthand for a central passage we've already looked at in Colossians, where he talks about God being in Christ, reconciling all things. Do you remember that? I preached on this. Maybe one person might remember this. Reconciling, making right relationships between other people and God and the planet and God. All things are being reconciled through the cross, creating a new relationship with God. Tristan spoke on that passage that talked about Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what makes these relationships so incredibly powerful. And so it's important for us to get hold of here that their prayers are integral to the mission that God has given to them. In verses 3 and 4 speaks of that. And Paul and Timothy's prayers were integral to the mission that God has given to the church in this rather small, insignificant now market town on the banks of the Lysis River. Modern day Turkey. In other words, they are truly on mission together, and they're praying all the way. You'll notice that Paul and Timothy were the out front evangelists. They were the one with that ministry, that gifting, and they were called to declare, to announce, to explain and to proclaim the gospel. That church in Turkey were engaged in mission in their context, in a different way, using their different gifts. Maybe one or two were evangelists, but the rest of the body of Christ had other ministries, just as we do here. In their context, they would use their particular gifts, living out faith on their front lines. And they were to be praying for one another's front lines, yet living it out with wisdom, truth, and grace. So let's reflect for a moment on our own context in Malvern. Firstly, it's true to say, isn't it, that God has in his immense mercy, and this doesn't happen sadly in enough churches, but we have received something of a heart for prayer. Would you say that's true? I think by and large, well, the amount of prayer I hear going on for one another, there was somebody in the Alpha WhatsApp group who was going for a job interview this last week, and bang, 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 bang on that WhatsApp message, all these messages, we're praying for you, we really pray that that will happen, and we thank you, we're with you in this and everything. It was extraordinary. I led a quiet day last week, and people just came. It was on the significance of silence. People just came and they sat in silence and prayed that God would speak to us. And I can't tell you now, I've got time, but the things that people received from the Lord in silent prayer is just extraordinary. But people went to it. In fact, more people went to it than we could accommodate at the Wellspring. There was a hunger for prayer of different types in this church. It's true that many have taken the word of Christ to us, and we've received that word. But the second part of that verse tells us what sort of prayers God is looking for here in what we're about. It says, pray, being watchful and thankful. In other words, watching out, alert to opportunities, prayerfully discerning where are the showers that God is sending, to which we need to get under. Not hiding under our umbrellas, but singing and dancing, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. And secondly, it's true that God has opened doors for us and is opening doors, that the message and mission of Christ can be taken forward. And I was thinking there are so many examples of this, but I just want to, I've asked if Simon Kemp would come and just share from his experience one example of how he saw that shower and got under it, and the Lord opened a door for the message and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Littleton Well. So we really appreciate you sharing this, Simon. And I just want to ask really about the vision and what vision for your job is and what your job involves. We've only got a few minutes. I know it involves an awful lot. We'll hear a little bit about what the Littleton Well does in a moment if you don't know what it is, but just tell us a tiny bit
before
about...
Before I start talking, I don't normally stand up this end of the church. My title at Littleton Well is Charity Development Leader. Someone got some pictures. Wow, well done, Derek. Thank you. I didn't get round to doing it. I do apologise. Is Charity Development Leader. And as we were discussing my title, my job description, I suppose, which is still very fluid, I decided I didn't want to be a manager. I believe that people need leading if you want them to come on the journey with you. You can't shoehorn them, you can't micromanage, you can't tell them to do something and not be willing to show them how to do it. So I take that from the book of John, 10:12-13. It says that the hired hand will run when trouble comes, but the shepherd will look after his sheep. And that's essentially where the title came from in my heart. So to put some context to what the Littleton Well is, it was set up in the early 90s as an interchurch outreach mission on the high streets of Malvern, and there was a well there, and the idea was that Jesus said, "All who are thirsty, come and drink from my well." And so that was the basis of the organisation. So we were like, right, what do we need to give people? And this was way before my time, obviously. But there are still some people involved who are from that time, and it's great to hear the stories. So we have a cafe to feed people. We run chaplaincy in the cafe, and we have a bookshop, which is now open upstairs if anybody wants some, to guide and encourage people in the way of Jesus. We have room hire to provide space for people to fulfil their physical and social needs. And we have a counselling service to provide for people's physical and mental well-being. And we're also a collection and distribution point for the Malvern Hills Food Bank as well. The setup is that the two commercial bits, the bookshop and the cafe, raise the money to allow the counselling service to operate without having to charge people. Now, just to put that into context, between January 2022 and March 2023, they did 1,800 face-to-face sessions. Okay. Each one of those costs roughly about £25 to £28, so that's £52,000 that we need to raise in income every year to allow this to happen, and that's before all the on costs and heating and lighting, etc., etc.
Yes. It's tremendous to hear the different ways that that's happening,
Simon. Yes. And there's an awful lot of people obviously needed to be involved in this.
Yes.
So we're talking about mission together. How can we as a church support that?
So the cafe and the bookshop and a few other bits and pieces are all run by volunteers to allow us to maximise the surplus left over from the cafes and the bookshop. So my ask is, I know there's some volunteers in here as well, thank you very much. My ask is that if you have as little as an hour a day, 2 hours a day, or a week even, or can just say, give me a call and I might be able to help, then please do come and speak to me. There are lots of roles from washing tea towels to sweeping the grounds to bookkeeping to, you know, you name it, serving food, turning books, etc. But I just want to say before I shut up, I'm aware with time limits, that chapter 4 onwards, 4 to 6, about being salty, being a place that people could come and know the love of Christ without us even having to open our mouths, is what my prayer request is for the Littleton Well from you guys. And as we pray, we do actually every day pray for the churches in Malvern. We pray for St Andrews quite regularly. We would love you to pray for us to continue to reach the people of Malvern with the love of Christ. Thank you.
Simon, I just want to pray for you because this is a fairly new thing for you.
Yeah. And it's a big step into the unknown. And but I want you to know that you're not alone, that we are partnering with you. And most of all, you're partnering with the Lord. So, Lord, I want to pray that Simon might know your strength, your wisdom, your spiritual insight into how you are working. Thank you for his courage, his dedication, and his determination to see people blessed by your spirit in this place. And we pray now that as we, on behalf of this church, commission you, Simon, to be bearers of salt and light, that your conversations may be seasoned with that salt, that your grace may permeate all that is about that whole Littleton Well, that, Father, you would enable him to do all that you've called him to be and to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very, very much indeed. Let's give Simon a very big clap. So, we are on mission together. With each other, but most importantly with Jesus, because it is God's mission. This is the great commission that God gave through Christ as to his disciples. And I love that slide. We can just go back to it a second. I love that slide of us all just in the rain, doing stuff together and really loving, pushing through the pain, dancing in the rain and celebrating what God is doing. We are indeed being people who are partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. That's what our logo is all about, our mission statement as churches together. We have seen God's faithfulness in the years gone by. What he will lead us into is yet to be known. But his Spirit will lead us, and he will take us with him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you have shown us the way and will lead us into all that you have for us. May we be watchful and thankful in devoted prayer and enter through the doors you open, trusting you every step of the way. Amen. Let's continue in intercessory prayer now for others as Ellie leads us in our prayers for the world, for his church, as we thank God for his goodness to us.
As we join together this morning, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, please join with me by saying, hear our prayer. Lord, as we come before you, we think of all that is going on in the world that needs our prayer. There are too many to name now, but can we just take a moment and each individually think of something that's on our hearts this morning? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we think about mission this morning, we'd like to pray for our mission partners, for Ben and Katie, for Nick Russell, for the Fletcher family, for Terry English and the Bible Society, for George, for Open Doors, and for Icing Pop. We pray that as they do your work, Lord, that they would know you so deeply, that your love would overflow through their words to you. And that they would see the fruits of their labour flourish. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who were ordained to priests yesterday at Worcester Cathedral and for their continued ministry in our county going forward. Particularly we pray for Adam Wharton and James Williams who are serving in Malvern. We pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them in this time, and that they would go boldly to serve those who really need it. We also pray for Tristan Mitchell as he prepares for his bat. We thank you for all that he does for our church, and we pray that you would bless him and his family as they go through the ordination process. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, we thank you for the churches in Malvern and for how well they work together and for all they do for the community. We pray for the Octagon, that they would continue to be blessed in their ministry. We pray for all of those who serve faithfully there, and pray for more of our community to experience you through the work of the Octagon. We pray for our young people in their groups this morning, and for Chaos this evening. Pray that they would be able to look to you in times of trouble and in times of joy. We pray that they would continue to know you more deeply, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Jesus, we thank you for all the opportunities we have to share your light through our churches, but also through our front lines. We pray for boldness in sharing your word with those that we work with our families and with our friends. We pray that you would give us courage to represent you always and to share the good news to those around us. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. Amen.
So Jesus invites us now to participate with him in this tremendous celebration of God's love for the world. So let's just remain seated at this stage so that everybody can see and recognize the symbolism of the bread and the wine as we go forward into Holy Communion. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. For in your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread, gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of the supper, taking a cup of wine, he gave you thanks, and he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. So as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With a whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And so, as our Saviour taught us, we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. And feed on him in your hearts by faith with great thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to receive the bread and the wine as we normally do. stationed at the back of church near the font, the other at the front. If you would like to have gluten-free wafer or non-alcoholic wine, please do take those from the front. The stewards will indicate when and where to go as you come forward. The worship group will come forward first and to play some beautiful music as we can join in with as we worship during this time.
Jesus, you deserve the praise.
So we pray in these words from the Celtic tradition. Together we say, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen. And build your kingdom here, we pray. Our final song we see joined together in these words. Our prayer from our hearts is that God's kingdom may come and his will be done.
Thank you.
That be our heart's desire. And we go out with a response that enables us to know that as we partner with Christ in all of life, we will find ourselves led by Him in all the pain and the joy. Our closing response is, the cross, we shall take it. The bread, we shall break it. The pain, we shall bear it. The joy, we shall share it. The gospel, we shall live it. The love, we shall give it. The light, we shall cherish it. The darkness, God shall perish it. And the blessing of God, Father, Spirit, Son, be upon you and remain with you and all whom you love and seek to serve, this day and every day. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And if you would like to have prayer, please do come forward to receive whatever God has for you this morning.